Hawkeyes play football, Hawkeyes get dubs. That's what they do. Can you be focused too much on the end result? If you win games, does any of it matter? Of course it matters. We're going to talk about it. Ugly game at Wrigley Field. Cool backdrop. Drew Stevens cashing out on the Wildcats. 10-7 Hawks. Let's talk about it. Let's have a day. Let's go. Into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. We're back for another episode. Drake's not here because for now, that's how this works. So,
is that a for now thing? It was my understanding that was more of a permanent arrangement.
Yeah. I think in his mind it is permanent. But I'll throw that back to you. Over the course of the five plus years we've done this, how many times has Drake quit the podcast?
Three?
I would say at least three. Maybe even a fourth in there.
Well, the fourth is because he had to go to the loony place for a little bit. But
it's true. It's true.
You know.
So, I don't know. I don't know if he'll be back. What I told Gary the other day on the episode that you weren't able to make it on Wednesday was I just have a hard time seeing it. Imagining that, you know, we get some of these guys that we get to come on in the off season. I just have a hard time he doesn't show up for those conversations. See, believing that he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. He really, for the last 3 years, though, I feel like he's not wanted to talk about football. So, like, the in-season podcast doesn't interest him whatsoever. But the out-of-season, like, you know, we get to talk with guys we played with, other cool guests and stuff. I feel like he's always about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we know Drake is he's hot, cold, right? So, you know, I think once he cools off a little bit from this most recent and we get out of the season stuff, I do fully believe that he's done with the in season for good.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
He tried it last year. He's gotten progressively more pissed off. I don't know if it was Gary or what, but people were loving his in season football analysis this year. He was engaged. People were making note of it. They really enjoyed it. I've even gotten several messages since his announcement that he's done saying that they're going to really miss how engaged and thoughtful he was with some of the football takes. We'll give the credit to you on that one, G-Bone.
Drake was doing all the talking. I mean, I didn't.
Well, but I think you might have pulled it out of him.
Maybe a little bit, but I don't know. I think Drake was just in it. I think he was excited. There was some things to be excited about at the beginning of the season. So
he's no longer excited. He's no longer on this show, and you're only going to hear him if you're on the Patreon. Shout out to all the Patreon signups in October, by the way. Big month for us here at the Washed Up Walk-Ons. It is the month where the number of 50% proceeds that benefit the Children's Hospital raises to all the way up to 100%. A lot of you joined in on that. A lot of you participated. That reflects in the numbers. Patreon and Discord is as big as it's ever been right now. And with that, donations to the Children's Hospital will also be padded. So appreciate that. How was your weekend, boys? Kev, did you go to the game?
No. I was here in Iowa.
Okay. And Grant, you did not end up going?
I didn't end up going, no.
Okay. Sad, because I was... It was cool. Like the novelty of Wrigley was cool.
So my brother actually played. So he played for Northwestern, obviously. They played a game in Wrigley 2010, 2011. I forget which year. They played Illinois there one. And I think I've talked about this before, but they only had the offenses going one way.
Yeah.
Because there was not enough room in the back of one of the end zones. And KF actually made a comment of a post game. I don't know if you guys saw that. He's like, I wish there was a little bit more room there. He's like, but the ambulance chasers, the lawyers were just waiting for somebody to get hurt back there. but back when my brother played, yeah, they only went one way. But they had the same thing where they were both on one side. And it's weird.
It's weird. Really weird.
Yeah, and I don't think KF's a huge fan of playing on the baseball field.
No.
I remember that in the he mentioned in the pregame, like, yeah, I only remember playing on baseball field one time. The field conditions weren't great. I'm like, yeah, that was us. That was horrible.
It was an understatement as well.
And then, they played this time. Not only are they dealing with the sideline thing, but the turf just has a 3x3 yard, two foot deep hole in it at the one goal line.
It's a crater.
Yeah, just absolute sinkhole.
Which is really important because they're trying to, you know, maybe I wouldn't call it the highlight, but maybe the interesting storyline of this game is the possessions down by that goal line. You know, obviously the goal line stand, the ensuing possession by Iowa to then try and push out of there. Punt out of there, and then obviously they ended up getting scored on that next possession because Northwestern was honestly playing the Iowa ball game there. We were on the other side of what we like to do to people, get people stacked into their territory deep, force a quick punt that isn't very long, get a decent return, set up yourself with a short field. It's exactly what Northwestern did to us to score their points. But they're trying to literally run out of a crater. Grant, you tweeted it. I don't know what game it's from, but you tweeted the picture of the turf guy.
Oh, that's from the Big Ten Championship in like 2019, maybe?
Oh, yeah. They had to like sew the turf back down or something like that.
The dude was just going to work. I'm surprised
the one guy with the bucket. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was too.
They had an extensive crew, though, for this one. They brought out some of the people were actually there, were like getting photos of it. Like, first time out, they just send one dude. Like they had the refs just like stomp on it. But like, by like the eighth time, they had like a full, like 20 people out there shoveling, like sod everywhere. It was an elaborate little thing to fix it.
Well, you got to think about it. We're at a baseball field, right? I mean, I don't know how many professional baseball games you guys go to growing up, but they got a whole field crew, right? You know, every three or four innings, they're out there raking the whole infield there. So I'm sure they got some guys.
Baseball operations teams are pretty legit. They run out there with their, to get the sand all fixed up in between innings and stuff like that. They know what their shit.
They get out there with the, I always loved watching the guy with the hose,
wet the sand down.
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
Yeah, so it was interesting. That, I mean, obviously the game overall, we're going to get into it, but it was not exciting.
I thought it was very exciting.
I say disagree.
It wasn't exciting.
I don't know what game you're watching.
What was exciting about this game?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know, man. Dude, the last 7 minutes of the game, I'm on the edge of the couch, man. Okay. I am... Mm-hmm.
Last 7 minutes, sure.
I thought it was exhilarating.
Did you think it was exhilarating when they combined for 6-3 and outs in a row at one point?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I
loved it. Well, you're in the minority there. Let's kick this thing off first with a betting recap sponsored by our friends at Betfred. Doing a little special right now, and we got a code for you. Let me pull this up real quick.
The walk-ons got a code?
Yeah, we got a code. We actually had this as our first read last episode when you weren't here. Exclusive offer right now. Your first qualifying bet of $20 or more will be matched up to $105 and be given back to you for another bet if it loses. Enter the promo code WASHED. WASHED, WASHED.
Is that for new signups only?
It doesn't say for new signups only, but I imagine so, because that's when you're going to be able to enter a code. Because I don't know if there's a... I haven't checked, I guess. I doubt there's a place to enter a code when you place like single bets after you've already made an account.
I want to say there is.
Maybe there is. Try code WASHED. Everybody try code WASHED if there's a place to put it in there. And if you already made an account and it's only for new signups, then get a friend or make a second account.
I don't think you can. You only get one social security number, don't you?
That's what you think.
I mean,
download the Betfred IO app as many times as you can. Make as many accounts as you can. Use a code WASHED as many times as you can.
Have your mom make an account and bet off her account.
Yeah. Hypothetically, if you're a student athlete, have a family member. Just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Wink, wink.
Although sanctions will be less than they initially were, I believe.
That's what they're saying. They come out with a definitive timeline of when they're actually going to announce those.
I have no idea.
So if like if you're an athlete looking for a little mini vacation during the season, it'd be like a 4-week break.
I don't even think the first offense is I guess your individual school could reprimand you in their own way. But I don't believe from the NCAA the first offense is just like
they actually came out with guidelines now. Like,
well, I went back when they a couple weeks ago when they decided to, you know, take another look, right? The proposed new guidelines was like first offense, like a slap on the wrist or something. Like, I don't think there was any actionable.
Hey, stop that.
Yeah.
So you're saying your first time doing it, you should just bet the house on it.
You should. Yeah. You bet as much as you possibly can until you get caught the first time. After that, you're going to have to watch it. That's when you use your grandma's account. And if your grandma was to be making bets for you, she would have bet on the Air Force Army under, which is one of the games that hit for me this weekend.
Grant, I want to say like the Academy game goes under like more than Iowa goes under.
It's like 80% of the time.
I say that I don't know the exact set, but I think it's like 42-9 or something in the last 51,
which is insane stat, like absolutely insane. I saw that one wasn't like terribly low. It was like mid-30s, right?
Yeah, it was like 32.5 or something like that.
Okay,
well, and you had I think 26 points in the first half, just a complete dud in the second.
Hey, never in doubt.
Sure.
Yeah. That was one of my three picks on the weekend. That one hit.
Crazy game, though, with Air Force being 17-point favorites, just getting smashed the other way.
Getting beat by that much. And then Kevin and I, unknowingly, chose the same game that I did. Just a weird line. Don't understand this. Penn State was only favored by 8.5 over Maryland.
And they won by 30.
And they
more.
Yeah.
They got real ugly at the end.
I picked this one as one of my picks. Kevin was confused about it as well when he sent his picks in after the podcast.
Yeah. I'm like, Gary, do some research. Is there like a scandal coming? Is somebody hurt? Why is this line only 8.5 points? I put a decent amount of cash on that one.
Yeah. We both picked that one. That one hits. And then the Hawks are the ones who don't come through for me on the weekend. I took the Hawks -5. I'd like to say that I hit that if Drew Stevens hits the first field goal, but then again, I mean, we probably run the clock out if we're in that position, you know, so we probably don't even kick the second field goal. So Hawks don't cover there. Under hit, though. Iowa under hit.
Never in doubt.
Never in doubt. That one was truly never in doubt.
Penn State Maryland is it's a palindrome game, by the way.
So like a score?
Yeah, it was a palindrome. It was 51-15.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
There you go. A little fun fact.
51 points on Maryland. Jesus.
Well, I saw like, I know it's kind of a rivalry because like they share a border. They go after a lot of the same recruits.
Sure.
James Franklin was being kind of a dick on fourth downs there, like with like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like,
really?
Just going for it on a fourth down like regularly.
Wow.
And Maryland was doing the same. So it was just like giving them the ball on their own 30-yard line. So, but yeah, that game kind of got out of hand.
Interesting.
The fourth quarter.
Gary, how did you do this weekend?
Not ideal. I went 1-2. I've been choking away my lead slowly over the past few weeks. But no, we got to regroup here. Right? I know where it's doing good. I mean, Clemson, I start off the day well, but then
let's talk about Clemson for a second because you and I. What? Talked about that 90 minutes deep on the last episode, by the way, and deep into that session, that recording session, where we find this Clemson +3 line, and I'm sitting there very confused.
I brought it up. It was my pick.
Okay, okay. We as a podcast found the we eventually got to this.
Grant brought up Clemson +3.
Grant found this line.
Hey Grant, you're in the starting three now. All right, it's we over me. It's a team game.
Okay. Yeah, this is
you got to get with the culture now, buddy.
Yeah. And I was super confused, and Grant talked me into it as the sleeper pick of the weekend. Yesterday, I pull up my phone because I'm watching the Iowa game in a church, a Catholic church, is where I watch this game, half of it. Ban fall weddings, right? What are we doing?
Agree.
And I see that Clemson is dogging Notre Dame at halftime. Dabo was fighting for his life.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'd like to think it was the Tyler from Spartanburg, personal revenge game. he got the fire lit under him, and he took it to him.
Yeah. I didn't watch any of this game. Did you guys catch any of it?
Yeah.
The last little bit of it when Notre Dame tried to make a comeback. That was about it.
Yeah. I just thought Clemson's defense just really showed up. Like they were making it really tough for Sam Hartman. The offense definitely looked better. Like they were running the ball pretty well, but it looked like finally things were clicking for them on defense. Mm.
Yeah. I think they had a big pick six in the first half.
Do you know what the rest of their schedule looks like? Three games left on the schedule. They have to win one to be bowl eligible.
I know one of them is South Carolina, so they'll be good.
But. They'll be good. They got Georgia Tech, who actually just had a big win.
Georgia Tech, they might be able to come
that,
over.
That would actually bring us to another one of Gary's picks now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And this is the thing. I'm getting too, like, I just need to stick to the basic with my picks.
Are you trying to get too cute on yourself?
I was trying to get too cute with it. I thought Virginia was potentially a good spot. I still think that line was a little fishy, but I think my strategy moving forward is like I need to only for the three at least pick a team that I've seen get a stop on third down before. that's going to be the strategy moving forward. In order for me to pick them for the three, they need to have gotten a third down with me watching before. But it's just picking the right games for me. It's a shame too because the two bonus picks that I gave out at the end both worked, but they're not a part of the big three.
And what were those?
That was Arizona and Michigan State.
Mm.
So I like it. Like I'm not trying claiming credit for the bonus picks, but they did hit.
I don't know how much or if any you caught either. You caught of the Michigan State Nebraska game. Nebraska got fucked on some calls.
I saw the one pass interference that was like pretty head scratching. Yeah.
Oh my god. Are you talking about the one where he got tackled?
Yeah.
Before the ball got there?
Yeah, that one.
Just complete no call. Unbelievable. I mean, do you have any explanation for that? There was another one where the quarterback... I
don't know. The ref looked for his flag in his pocket and it wasn't there. He's like, I guess, I don't know.
Nothing to throw. There's another one where I think Michigan State got a ruling as a caught ball or reception, and it was like very clearly on the ground. That game ended up being close. I think it was 2017.
Yeah, that was one of my picks. I had Nebraska covering three there. And that obviously does not come through. I think they lost the turnover margin 2-0, 3-0.
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. It's Nebraska.
3-0. So
Kevin's the push king.
I had Nebraska -3.
Oh.
Yeah, they lost the turnover margin 3-0.
Mm, yeah, you can't win games that way.
Being the difference in the game right there. So nope. Nebraska doing Nebraska things to lose games.
Sure. Although, hey, Rule's been ahead of schedule in year one.
Yeah, oh, of course. Yeah, I think you're, for the most part, doing a decent job so far. They're probably going to make a bowl game.
Yeah.
And then my last pick was the over in the Ole Miss Texas A&M game, and that hits comfortably.
Nice. Grant, what was your other pick? You had like Mississippi State or somebody?
Yeah, I had Mississippi State. Total debacle. I mean, they had some late scratches too that I didn't know about when we picked them, which was unfortunate. But I know they had a drive that was over. It was like 22 plays and 13 minutes in the first quarter. I was like, okay, we're just gonna work it, and you know, the next time we get the ball back, it'll probably just end the game. So that didn't happen. They didn't get points after that. The rest of the game, just total domination from Kentucky.
Could you imagine a game where first team to get the ball takes up the entire first quarter, and then they score, and the other team does the same thing for the second quarter, and they just both do that twice, and that's the game. And yeah.
It's like, well, there it is.
So fun. What are records? Me and Clue both pick up a game on you there.
Yeah, it is neck and neck heading into the final weeks of the season. So Kluver, you are at 16-14 on the season. Drake is still at 6-4-1 and 1-0 in UFC parlays.
Who's Drake?
Kevin is at 16-12-2, and then I'm at 17-13.
Damn, that's gonna be tough. Like Kevin's got that 2-game push over me. I don't know how you would count that, but he's definitely ahead of me with the pushes. So
you gotta go by win percentage, right? So those are just like,
yeah.
Does this go into like championship weekend? Like, are we doing
we'll go championship weekend, bowl games,
all the way to national championship?
and we'll probably go into the NFL playoffs and
Super we'll probably Bowl. Cap it after the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Oh, this is good. I thought this was just college football. I didn't know this was going. Have NFL picks been on the table this whole time?
Oh yeah.
Really?
We just haven't.
Yeah, like a couple of years ago, Drake only did NFL picks.
Yeah, there was a year
he didn't do very good. He did very poorly, actually.
Dude, the NFL's hard, man.
It's much harder. Can I do like college basketball too? Or
sure. I think we've thrown a couple college basketball picks on there before too.
That might not work because they usually don't come out till 24 hours before. I'll figure it out.
Anyway, that does draw us near. This is a fun little competition here. As we head deep into the season,
all it takes is 1-3-0 weekend.
And I know,
or an 0-3 weekend. That's the difference right there.
Shout out to Betfred. If you're placing any of those bets, the betting channel in the Discord has been hot recently. I mean, there's people putting their tickets in there. Every once in a while, someone will drop in. Hey, what are we hitting tonight? What games are we? Goose will pop in. Here's some cricket from overseas that we're betting. Some tennis, some women's tennis.
Oh, yeah. Someone's actually betting overseas cricket.
Goose is betting everything and anything that can be bet on, Goose is betting on.
There was some love for a Japanese professional basketball league I saw last night.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Complete
degeneracy going on.
I got to take a better look through that tab. Yeah. That is hilarious stuff.
And some of the winning tickets that people post in there are really exciting. It really gets the juices going.
Yeah. We're putting all of our minds together right now. Like you said, we're trying to build a team, right? It's we over I.
Yeah. That's what this is. It's a community. When somebody like Drake tries to tear the whole thing down, you really got to band together. And if you'd like to join the team, be on the team, be a part of the army, especially in the betting sense, use code WASHED, download the Betfred Iowa app today, and start your journey with us. Before we get to the game, I want to give a quick shout out, Grant. When we recorded that episode last week, I was on the heels of a long day. I had just been at state volleyball, if you remember.
I do remember.
The Waukee Northwest Wolves.
Who?
Wolves.
Who?
The Wolves.
What's
they
a wolf?
Had just
I don't know what that is.
I don't either. They had just won the semifinal game against Ankeny Centennial, and they were headed to the championship the following day, Thursday, when the podcast came out. So the following day, Thursday, I was back in Coralville, Kevin's neck of the woods, at Extreme Arena, watching the Waukee Northwest team.
Didn't even text me he was going to be in town.
You're working, dude.
Sometimes I'm not.
In fact, the night before, you weren't even available for the podcast.
But you knew you were coming to this thing like a week in advance, at least, probably, I'm guessing.
Kevin, on Wednesday night,
Kevin, you said you were going to be a mile and a half away from where you live.
Kevin, you said you were catching a flight Wednesday night. Did I think you were coming back by Thursday at 10?
You knew you were going before Wednesday, did you not?
I knew I would have been okay. So I guess Wednesday is the day I could have texted you.
You didn't know you were going before Wednesday?
No, that's what I'm saying. As I knew I was coming to Wednesday's game, I knew that I was coming to Coralville Monday when they won and made it to the next round, which was on Wednesday.
Hey, Kev, going to be in your neck of the woods. If you want to get a bite to eat, hang out.
I didn't get a text.
I'll be a mile away from your house.
Realistically, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to make excuses. I definitely could have done it. I was on a bit of a time crunch. I literally left the game to go home and pick up girl from daycare. Anyway, the Wolves beat number 2 Ankeny Centennial in the semis, showed up in another 5-set thriller, and beat number 1 Dowling Catholic to win the state title, bring home the championship. So I just want to shout out the Wolves. You know, shout out to them. State champs.
They might be fun. Disrespected by how you're pronouncing their mascot.
No. I've heard that there's 2 wolves inside of you. I don't know. It's like a Chinese, what do you call it?
Proverb,
yeah. Not sure how the rest of it goes. Shout out to them. Okay. Real quick, Ike was shouting out the Cedar Falls football team, by the way, too. I want to give a shout out to them. They were ballsy, took on number 1 Southeast Polk in the quarterfinals playoffs on Friday night, scored late, went for 2 to try and beat number 1. Came up short, but I love the ball. So Southeast Polk ends up going to the dome, but I love the balls on Cedar Falls.
Like, hey, the do they got any more Stallies up there for us that we could maybe borrow for a few years?
Jack's brother.
Oh, yeah? Is he good?
I don't know if he's good. I don't know if he's being recruited. I don't know what position he plays. I just know that Jack's brother plays for them, I think.
I'm going to just go out on a limb there and say he's probably a decent football player.
With what Jack did, I think Jack's accomplishments have earned his brother at least a walk-on opportunity at minimum. Just get another Campbell in the building, see what happens.
Probably good for culture, if nothing else.
Oh, it'd be great for culture. Iowa at Wisconsin. Not Wisconsin. Iowa at Northwestern. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we can go back to happier times. Iowa at
Wisconsin. Yeah, we can go Iowa at Wisconsin. Speaking of Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota, they all lost yesterday.
Yeah, how bad is the Big Ten West, man?
Horrible.
Two of the teams that are tied for first lose to the two worst teams in the East.
Correct.
I think we're just beating each other up. It's competitive.
What if we're all just really good?
Ooh, well, then we wouldn't be losing to teams from the fucking East, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Oh, man. It's
we're not.
The fire of a division. Actually makes me I was thinking about this. There's probably no school that's going to benefit more from the disbanding of divisions than Indiana.
Tell me why.
Because they don't have to play Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State every single year.
Well, I mean, is it not the same for Rutgers and Maryland? And
yeah, true. But I think Indiana is a team that I think Tom Allen's a good coach, and they've had the opportunities to be good a couple of times, and they just go through that buzzsaw. It's just brutal on them.
2020 was their dream year. They had like that magical 2020 when like everybody
Michael
else.
Penix.
Yeah, and then 2020, you know, and I think Penix is like the front runner for the Heisman right now.
It's not jinxing. We're still holding that ticket.
I think he's only like plus 150 right now.
Be cool. This weekend helped a lot. So
never forget, Iowa made him look like trash.
Two pick sixes, right?
Yeah. And outside of that, there was a bunch of other really bad play. We made him look really bad. Granted, our defense was insane, but yeah. Good for him though, getting out of Indiana. Fight in Washington. What a come up he's had.
Oh, for sure. The past 2 years?
Yeah.
Indiana, who is the little white guy, too, who transferred to Northwestern?
Little white guy.
He took Northwestern to the Big Ten championship.
I don't know.
But yeah, no idea. Had some been a little junior recruiting ground for the rest of the nation with quarterbacks.
I have a question regarding sort of the idea you brought up there, Kev, the disbanding of the divisions. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. I listened to several other podcasts.
Is that Peyton Ramsey, by the way?
Peyton Ramsey, yep.
That is him. Yeah. That does ring a bell. No more divisions, 18 teams. You're playing everybody, you know, the new model. I think you play everybody like three times in 5 years or something like that. You go at least there, and you have a home and away, I believe, with each team every 5 years or something. You know, it's a pretty good model where they evenly disperse the teams.
It's got to be harder for Iowa though, having three rivalry locks, right?
I would have to imagine that with the three protected games there, the model had the most trouble. It was probably based on Iowa, like what works for Iowa, and then it'll probably work for everybody else.
Yeah, because everyone else has at max two. I think I was the only one with three, I think.
Yes, correct. Which I love, by the way. Like, those games are...
Honestly, I if I had to lop one off, I'd say we don't need to play Nebraska every year.
Yeah, I agree. It just... They've tried to make it a rivalry. And while it is through the fan bases, it doesn't feel like it has as much substance to it other than that. Other than the fan bases hate each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, hey, you guys are borders. Nebraska needs somebody to play on rivalry weekend. Congratulations, you guys are rivals now.
The trophy is dog shit. I mean, like, it's not a cool trophy. It doesn't really mean anything. The heroes thing is cool, where they honor the heroes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. There's an idea. I don't know if it's an idea. Maybe it is more of a fact. That, obviously, the West has been weaker than the East, right? Maybe never more evident than this year. And by disbanding divisions, there is now the potential if they stay powerhouses and, you know, somebody from the current West can't put something together, there's the potential, you know, and that's including having to go through Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA. There's the potential that the old West may not see a Big Ten championship for a long time.
It's very, very real.
You know, it could be.
But, I mean, I imagine Wisconsin will get back to being a good program again.
Sure.
They have several advantages just the way geography and,
history,
not having another in-state school to compete with.
Yep.
They have a lot of advantages there to continually run a good program. Mm-hmm. It's always been that the East had the better top dogs, right? Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan.
Well, they have two blue bloods and one that's when you look at the blue blood classification, Penn State's like right on the edge. They always put them like right on the edge. I think they have some actual, so they have almost three blue bloods and the West has none.
Yeah, but it was from 2014 to 2020, the West was always deeper, right? Like,
yeah,
you had in the East, you had the three good teams. Occasionally, Michigan State was good, and then the rest of the conference was like dog shit, or the division was dog shit. Versus the West was, you know, you had a couple of poor teams, but everyone else was pretty competitive. I think there was actually a stretch there, like for a few years, where the West had the better record
across
interdivisional games. Yeah,
they did. Yeah.
But as far as being at the top of the conference, yeah, it's going to be tough for the seven teams in the West for the foreseeable future.
Especially when you factor in you got to figure that Oregon or Washington probably finds their way, or USC finds their way to the conference championship once in a while. Right. So, the question, the theory, the idea is like, has the West held each other back by And in my mind, this doesn't make sense because it's not, I'll have to explain it a little bit, but like, because the West is just like, they play the West football. It's almost its own class of football. It's like this North, what you saw this weekend, Iowa versus Northwestern, Iowa versus Wisconsin, Iowa versus the gritty kind of grind it out. Like, we're not going to score 100 points. It's ugly sometimes. You know, like the classic, what has become of this year's Big Ten West football. Are these teams all holding each other back somehow by knowing over the past decade that like, well, this is who we play. We're going to play these teams, these five teams. And we know what it takes to beat them. And we know the kind of games these are going to be. So has it held their style back somehow?
I wouldn't really say so. I just think that the West for the last 3 years have just had significantly weaker teams in the East. A bunch of them play the same offenses, defenses as in the East. It's not like it's a different style of football. They're just worse at it.
Sure.
The last 3 years, in my opinion.
Do you think that Wisconsin and Iowa, who are arguably the top two of the West for the last decade, I mean, you could throw, you know, every once in a while, Northwestern would be in there, or Minnesota would challenge or whatever. Do you think that there's any merit to the idea that like, well, they haven't tried to elevate themselves as a program to try and get to the level of those blue bloods because they know that they can just win the West and go then match up with them and try and win that final game. Like, in my mind, it doesn't make sense. I've just heard it from other people because it's not like the coaches are sitting back there going, well, we don't have to get that much better. We just got to be better than Wisconsin, right? They're not taking that mindset into the season or into their off season when they're trying to create a culture and develop a program of players, but
doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. It's like you try to put your best football team together. You don't prepare your team around a specific opponent.
I know.
It's like, hey, Wisconsin does this, but they're bad at this. So we need to be good at this to attack that weakness. So we're going to recruit these players and coach them this way and run this sort of offense. Like, no, fuck, no one does that.
I know. It doesn't make sense to me either, but something about it maybe is romantic in a way. I don't know. Like, now that there's no West, now like a couple of these teams are going to like, the governor is off and they're going to have to step up if they want to compete with USC and Washington and all this stuff. And it's just like, but.
I think that's just a poorly crafted argument. But
yeah, I mean, it's not my argument. It's just something I've thought about. I think Hassel and Williams have talked about it on Two Guys Named Chris.
Yeah, that's just a horrible take, in my opinion.
Fair. We'll clip that. Send it to him.
Go for it.
I don't know. I think it sounds in theory to like someone who is on the outside and doesn't. And again, I hate to do this. I don't like to be the one who's like, well, I've been on the inside and I know how it works.
I'm on the outside and that doesn't make sense to me either.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you, Grant.
If you know how teams go to work each day and how it's just like, there's just no way that Kirk would sit back and go, well, we're really just trying to beat Wisconsin, you know, so we don't really have to be that good. We just have to be good enough to beat Wisconsin. Like as many
that were the case, right? He's like, well, we don't want to beat Wisconsin too badly. We just want to beat them by a little bit. We don't want to be good enough to compete for the Big Ten championship, but we want to be just the right amount of good. Yeah. We don't want to be better than we have to be.
I think it's an idea that sounds like sexy and like super,
it's an edgy take or whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like a good take if you don't break it down. It's like, oh yeah, all these teams have been holding each other back because they haven't had to worry about beating, you know, winning a division by getting through the Blue Bloods. They just have to get through each other and play ugly. Now that there's no divisions, they'll have to change it up. But it's like, it's probably not the way it is.
To win your division, you still got to win the most Big Ten games in your division. You got to play three of the fuckers from the other side of the country conference anyway. So
I don't know. So. How do we feel about that goal line stand, Kev?
Oh, that got me juiced up, baby. That was I was thinking about they play like the Syracuse game from like '03.
That's what they're comparing it to. The clips came out from the Syracuse game.
Not quite as good because I think they had to go 8 plays in the Syracuse goal line stand, right? Because they had one pass interference.
Because there's a penalty, yeah.
Yeah, so they got a first down. But,
man.
Still, first and goal from inside the two. Mm. I think the defense gives up a touchdown 98% of the time there. Probably.
Absolutely.
Second and goal from inside the one, 99% touchdowns, right? It's got to be.
And they found a way to keep them out, man. Dude, how about that third down play?
How about the quarterback sneaks, man? Just the grit and just physicality to push the scrum back.
Oh,
it's like damn near impossible to stop a quarterback sneak. Someone had to time it up and go over so he can't like jump over the pile. But yes, the third down play that Higgins made, that's a big boy play right there. That was fucking awesome to see. Got me jacked up. The players are all jacked up on the field. I'm like, don't celebrate too much because you know they're going for it again. But
and that play is going to be my nomination. I don't know if you guys have any other ones, but that's my nomination for collision of the week. If you hit a deer, call Premier Automotive, Premier Collision.
If you hit Jay Higgins, you probably just have your car totaled. So just go get a new one.
Yeah, if you happen to be in the Iowa City area. And you get into a collision with Jay Higgins, you're just going to want to sell that car for parts because you're not going to win. You're probably going to have to go to Premier Automotive and get that taken care of. Shout out to them. What a hit. Just it's one of those, Kev, where it's like body on body. Somebody's going to win this. And you're right. If it's you against Jay, that guy.
And the thing that's hard about that is like you have to hit him square
as
possible because –
if he rolls off you, it's a touchdown.
If you're off center by even just a little bit, yeah, he can just spin right off and like fall through for the end zone. But yeah, squares him straight up, stands him up, drives him back. Awesome to see.
What made it even better was on the TV copy, you know, you're on the sideline. And so as you see that running back cut hard for the end zone, Jay kind of disappears behind another guy. So he gets, you're like, oh, fuck, he's running right into, like, there's no way he gets stopped here. And all of a sudden, he gets to about the goal line, and out of nowhere, Jay just meets him, and he just stalemate. Oh, my God, it was beautiful on the television. It was, that's art. That's art right there. And people are shouting out Phil Parker, like, pay Phil more money. I get it. Like, he's head of the defense. Shout out to those defensive players, though. There's not a lot of
That's just effort and grit right there.
There's not a lot of
there's not a whole lot of X's and O's going on there. Like, yeah, they taught him how to like defend against a snake when you get as low as possible, try to get under the offensive lineman. You know, we ran a couple of goal line plays where we're just slanting towards one player or the other. Man, that's 95% effort, 5% execution.
Yeah. Just
and that's what you just absolutely love to see as a former player is guys just selling out there.
Yeah.
Like it's so easy. Oh, it's second and one. They have 18 inches to go. It's like, we're kind of fucked here. But to just go for it again and again and again and just leave it all out there. Fucking awesome to see, man.
It was amazing to see. And it ended up sort of kind of mattering less than it initially did because we end up punting it. And they score, I don't know, 4 minutes later. But it's not all for nothing.
I think they took like 9 minutes off the clock in that drive.
Right. Yeah. So it mattered, right? Because stopping them drains that clock more. Who knows what happens if they score there, and then now it's a tie ball game with however much time was left on the clock.
Yeah, they probably have an extra 2-3 minutes probably. So sure. It's like now it's, we have – we're up three, but they got three plus minutes and they kind of found a formula in that fourth quarter of how to move the ball.
Yeah. Speaking of moving the ball, Caleb Brown gets his first catch of the year.
Huge catch.
Wearing a different number because number three was needed somewhere else. And that's because Cooper DeJane was playing offense for a couple plays, boys.
I know that got the fans riled up.
Oh, my God. Only two plays. They were back-to-back, and both of them worked great.
Yeah.
So we handed it to him on an end-around, and I was catching up, so I had paused it because I had to, you know, kid in the middle of a wedding starts yapping her trap off, so I had to take her to the back and, like, pause the game for a second, calm her down. I come back. I hit play, it skips all the way to live, and right where it was at live was Cooper running around the edge, and I was like, whoa, what is going on here? That's number three on offense, and it's not the other number three.
Yeah, he is a special guy, man. If we can figure out some ways to just get him the ball in space, I'm here for it. Even if it's only five plays a game, I'm here for it.
I think they used him in a two-play set as about as perfect as you can, because once you give it to him, now people are like, oh, shit. They're going to give it to him. Then you fake it to him or you run him in a misdirection on the next play. You hand it up the middle, and I don't know who got
it. 5 or 6 yards on that play?
I think we got 10 yards.
In the next decoy.
I think we rushed for like...
He got a first down, I'm pretty sure. I think the next play was like a 5 or 6 yard play.
Whatever. It worked. We got positive yardage like significantly both times in both plays that he was in. Kind of fun, like interesting timing. You know, with Brian gets told that he's not going to be the offensive coordinator anymore. And then he goes, all right, cool. We'll bring Cooper over then. Like, we'll run him on offense. But Caleb Brown gets that huge catch, gets us across the 50 with in the 2 minute drill. And then you're basically just, it's like, all right, let's get as many yards as we can and put this in old Drew Stevens' hands. I do think there's a missed opportunity there from Drew. He's playing in a baseball stadium. He hits a walk-off, basically, field goal. We should be doing a swing celebration. I get the night-night. I like it. Put him to bed. But if you're in a baseball stadium, you got to take a cut. You got to take a cut. Because, by the way, that kid put it dead center.
Oh, yeah. Dead center. Like... That was the most impressive kick I've ever seen out of a college kicker, I think.
Thing did not move side to side at all.
No draw, no fade, straight dead center, had another 5-6 yards on it easy.
It was good from potential.
That was 53, I think.
52 or 53. I think it has a chance to hit the crossbar and go over at 60. I think it's got a shot.
You know when I knew he was making it? It's like... It's after Seth Anderson's catch, mm-hmm. and they pan over to him like warming up, mm-hmm. and it's like still like second down or something.
And
he's
spinning the ball on his finger.
He's spinning the ball just on his finger, just
yeah,
casual. fucking casual. I'm like, oh, this dude's got iron nuts. We're golden.
Yeah. It's interesting. The head game, the mental ability of specialists always was fascinating to me. It honestly is wild that Miguel was such a good kicker and as clutch as he was, because we know Miguel, he's a fucking head case. I mean, he is the biggest head case I've ever met. Now, Keith, on the other hand, and I think Drew is much more like Keith. They almost don't even think about it. They just run out there. They can't even see the fans. They don't even feel like they're in a game. They're just kicking a football. And that's like a great mentality to have as a kicker. You're just like, hey, let's just go kick a football. The Stevens kid mentally seems to be like a steel trap. He's pretty solid. Great snap, great hold, great kick. Love to see the specialists come in big time. Not the only place that the special teams mattered. What's his name? Terrio Thompson? Is that his name?
Yes. I think his full name's not Terrio, but it's close.
Gets a hand on the ball.
Ontario. It's that big old bear paw out there.
Is it Ontario? I think it's A-N-T, something like that. Yes,
A-N-T-E-R-I-O.
Yeah, Ontario Thompson gets a bear paw on the punt. How many punts have we blocked this year now? Is that two or three?
Three, I want to say.
I don't know, but that was huge, boys.
I forget the actual statistic, but the amount of times you win a football game after blocking a punt is pretty damn good.
I'd say it's pretty high. Yeah, it's a good chance. LeVar Woods. Just continue to load cash into his bank account because.
Yeah, I mean, getting the ball on the 25-yard line is pretty sick.
It is sick. Sets up our only touchdown of the day, which goes to, I don't even know. Is he a sophomore? Is he, I don't know what, Astrenga got the touchdown, right?
Yes. Correct.
Could be our next guy from tight end Neil. Who knows?
It's going to have to be.
Guy, right now he is.
Doesn't have a choice.
Because he's the only, whatever string he is, he's the first string now. So nice little play there. Get him out in the flat. He makes a good catch, secures it, gets across the goal line.
A lot more play action this game.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I'm just surprised we weren't seeing it more often in the last four games.
Deacon has shown that when he sits there and he holds it, bad things happen. Happened again this game. Again, he fumbled it. I think luckily we fell on it. Am I correct? That was like a third or fourth down or something. It pushed us. Didn't a Northwestern guy, I know for a fact, a Northwestern guy did the strip drill on him as he was sitting back in the pocket too long in this game. I think we fell on it, but he got stripped. I know
he was like trying to get rid of one on a drop back pass was very un.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, very, very unwise decision.
Don't throw that ball.
Yeah, just randomly spinning around
and throwing it up in the air.
Throwing it up in the air. Not advisable. Ended up working out okay, avoided the sack, avoided the turnover, but either get rid of that ball sooner or just tuck it, man.
Eat it, yeah.
Eat it. But a couple good throws, man. The play action seems to be where he's more comfortable. I mean, those are easy throws too, especially.
I know.
Just nice, easy, get it to the guy in the flat, fall forward for 5 yards.
Run game was, I'm going to pull up the stats here. It doesn't pop out. In memory, short-term memory to me as
wasn't good.
A game to be proud of. Hold up right here.
41 for 104 for a 2.5 average. So that's it's not good.
It's bad. Shout out to November 4th, by the way, though. You know what date that is, Gov?
Oh. It's the anniversary.
That's Body Bags anniversary. 5 years. No.
People forget, man. People forget.
6 years to the day.
6 years. One of the best days of my life.
Maybe. Yeah. It's
one of top 10, probably.
That's probably top five for me.
That was a pretty cool day.
With the catch. Yeah. Shout out to that day. Never forget. So we win 10-7. We win 10-7. We win another ball game. Hey, 7-2.
I'll take it. 8-1.
Should be 8-1.
8-1 would be kind of nice right now.
8-1 would be sick, especially with all those teams losing yesterday. How that shapes up in the West, by the way, that is big for in us versus Wisconsin, us versus Minnesota. Both of those teams, I think, have to play Ohio State still.
Minnesota plays
Wisconsin Ohio already State. Played Ohio State
2 weeks. Wisconsin already played Ohio State.
Okay.
But Wisconsin, I mean, they bunch of the teams have to play each other yet. So Nebraska has to play Wisconsin. Wisconsin has to play Minnesota yet. And Minnesota has to play Ohio State. So, yeah, we have a game on all three of those teams. I think if we go.
Doesn't matter against Nebraska, because if they were to beat us, then we'd be tied and they'd have to head ahead. So that's. But it does get us one step closer to if they lose again.
That's also assuming Nebraska wins its next two games against Maryland and Wisconsin, which they'll be dogs in both of them.
They could lose both easily.
I think if we go two out of the next three here, we're almost certainly going to be Big Ten West champs.
And it's going to feel weird. It's great.
It's going to feel weird. Yep, sure is.
It's going to be awesome, but it's going to feel weird.
Hey man, a 9-3 year is pretty solid.
Absolutely. I am more than anyone, I'm a wins guy. I've said it a million times. If we won every game 3-0, that'd be great. I'd love to go 15-0 and win a national championship scoring 3 points a game and allowing zero.
It's the perfect season.
It would be the perfect season. 15 made field goals by Drew Stevens. Awesome. That would be my perfect year.
I would love that.
People would lose their minds.
That's why it would be perfect.
If Iowa somehow say Iowa does end up winning the West and somehow beats whoever comes out of the East, people would lose their fucking shit.
And you know what? It could happen.
It could happen. Hey, man.
People
man
don't,
in the arena has a chance.
People don't think.
If you're in the game, you got a chance.
People are going to say, you know, like, oh, this has got to be the, you know, what's the line going to be?
20-something.
Because we've been 20-point dogs, Kev.
We've been 20-point dogs.
And we went out 1 by 30.
To be fair, I think the line of the 2017 team versus the 2023 team, I think the 2017 team would be 2 touchdowns.
I was going to say 14 points, yeah.
And this gets me another point. Nate Stanley does not get nearly enough love. He got...
But Kev, who tried to give him love, though?
Oh, the walk-ons gave him a ton of love.
Oh, my God. We have a whole podcast that was like I think it's called the Nate Stanley Haters Address.
Yeah.
And that was while he was playing. And now I've seen a lot of tweets. I see the receipts. And I see a lot of people going, wow, a lot of people owe Nate Stanley an apology. And that's
– Nate Stanley was a good quarterback. Good. Bad quarterbacks don't make it to the NFL.
Saw a stat that yesterday, the touchdown pass to Addison Ostrenga was our 6th touchdown pass of the year. We've played 9 games. Nate Stanley had 5 against Ohio State in 1 game.
A couple dimes in there, too. A
couple dimes. Could have used a dimey from Colton Rastetter. That would have been nice.
Well, that was that led to one of his touchdown passes. So
one of the cooler ones too. He threw an absolute dart to TJ
with Sam Hubbard wrapped around his leg.
Yeah, such a cool play.
Yeah, that was a fucking cool.
And still, the funniest part of that was 2 years ago. Someone said that he owed me on Twitter, and Nate Stanley Venmo'd me 69 cents.
That is funny. You never told us that.
3 or 4 years after the fact, Nate Stanley Venmo'd me 69 cents.
That's funny as shit.
As a thank you for tripping on the 2-yard line and allowing him to throw that touchdown pass.
That's fucking funny.
I laughed when it happened. It was.
Has he been a guest on here before?
Oh yeah,
okay. He has. We got to get him back on here.
We should get Nate back on.
He's coaching. He's doing like a.
Is he coaching now?
He's doing
like a Nate Stanley like passing academy, like quarterback academy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd sign up for that if I was a QB.
Can I sign up for the Nate Stanley passing
academy? I bet he'd take your money.
Trying to take over
your money's green, man. If your money's green.
Any other thoughts we want to put out here on the Iowa Northwestern game?
I had a blast.
You loved it?
I loved it. When they put up that graphic of 0-0 at halftime, I was like, this is watching one, Picasso paint.
How much more did you enjoy watching this Iowa game than you would watching the Washington versus USC basketball game that happened this weekend?
Basketball game?
It's a joke with the score.
I didn't. I'm sorry. No, I mean, I think it's football is an awesome game because there's many ways to play it, and you get two totally different styles. But hey, two teams won, two teams lost. So
that's correct.
Ultimately, that's like when you check on the records, that's what it shows. It doesn't show you what the like amazing theater that Caleb Williams and Michael Penix Jr. were doing, although it was really fun to watch. But I still had fun watching Iowa.
Where did you watch that? Were you out at the bars or just at home?
Half and half.
Half and half. What was the vibe around the bars?
Totally dead in Iowa City this weekend. So it's mostly just me sitting next to my buddy, just talking.
Nice.
Talking football.
Love that.
Talking ball.
I love that for you.
You know, speaking of bars or breweries, this week.
I love breweries.
6 p.m. Back Pocket Brewery, Coralville, Iowa. The walk-ons are live. Live action. We're going to be there. We've got
shotgun and hops by a million.
We've got cans of beer that are collabed and co-branded with us. Hops by a million, black and gold, Sixers. We need you guys to come out and drink and purchase as many cans of this beer as you can. It's going to be a pregame to the Rutgers matchup, which happens the next day in Kinnick Stadium. And we're looking forward to seeing all the patrons, aren't we?
I'm looking for, what do we got to do to get you shotgun one?
Ooh. How many YouTube subscribers do we need by then?
So many. Dude.
What?
Hey, you're so much about like the mental toughness game, just, you know, mind over matter. It's just drinking 16 ounces of liquid, man.
Dude, I couldn't.
It's not even
so much about the beer, dude. I would have trouble shotgunning 16 ounces of water. Like, I can't chug water.
Soft.
It's totally different. Like, you don't do any work.
You do, though.
Dude, you got to open up the throat.
Yeah, you just.
Sorry, I'm not well versed in opening up the throat. You know?
You're uncultured.
Sure. I'm going to drink the beer. I'm going to have some hops by a million with the people. I will be sipping on a hops by a million for the entirety of my time at the show. Is that one? Is that two? Is that maybe three beers? Maybe.
I think three beers would fuck you up, dude.
Fun fact: I've had.
You are like a basically completely sober person.
Yeah, yeah.
Three tall boys, I'm pretty sure would.
Oh yeah, for sure. I would be hard buzzing if not full drunk after three beers. I've had alcohol one time in 2023. Check that. I had half of a seltzer at the lake, and then legitimately drank, which a lot of you are not going to consider this legitimate drinking, but for a sober person, it is. My wife and I, we went to a little Mexican restaurant on a date night. No kid, right? We're out just being kidless, and we went to Mexican, and I had a jumbo marg.
Wow.
And this jumbo marg fucking rocked me, dude. This was about, I don't know, a month and a half ago. And I was torched. It was not good.
This thing floored you, huh?
It absolutely knocked me on my ass. And Lauren thought it was hilarious because obviously, like, you know, 200-pound dude just getting absolutely tanked by a margarita. One single margarita. It was pretty big, but I'm going to drink the hops by a million. I'll have it in my hands. I'll sip on it. I'll enjoy the alcohol experience with all the people who come out. I'm excited to see our fans, our listeners. I hate to call them fans. They're our family. And a lot of people coming in, some who I don't think we've ever met before. Come and enjoy the beer. Enjoy the people. If you're coming, you're probably coming to the game on Saturday. So enjoy the game this weekend. And we're excited to see you. We'll talk about it on Thursday's podcast as well. But for Kevin and Gary, that's the Northwestern recap. We'll see you on DHT or on the Thursday show. We'll talk then. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.